great. So I'll just start with, what are your priorities for the session?
Well, we hope to engage the legislature and come together on a plan for a sustainable fiscal plan. We have to decide what are the services and programs that we value, what are the services and programs that we may not, try and reduce this budget further, and then hopefully the legislature can come together and we can get the issue of the PFD settled. My position has been clear and consistent. I'll continue to advocate for that. I'm also hoping to get a dialogue going with the legislature to both sides of the aisle, both the House and the Senate, to get us to wrap around together our hands around resource development moving forward. Alaska has always been an issue for a lot of NGOs and individuals that feel that we should not be developing our resources, that Alaska should pretty much remain as a park. It was never the intent of Seward, nor was it the intent of those that allowed us to become a state in the federal government, with the federal government. The idea was that we would develop our resources to help pay our way. And so this is a discussion I want to have, a deeper discussion with everybody in the legislature. How do we want to approach resource development going forward? There's a lot of push right now to not develop our resources in certain areas, and so that'll be a discussion as well.
What are your goals for the meetings that you're holding about the budget?
Yeah, very good question. So we'll be going all over the state. We want to hear from Alaskans what are the services and programs they value, what is their position on resource development as well, and how do they want to pay for government going forward if their desires, their programs and desires that they value exceed our current revenue? How do they want to go about paying for those services and programs? So we want to hear from the people of Alaska.
Do you expect to have policy changes this year that will result in a balanced budget for the future?
I hope so. I hope so. At the very least, we got to get pretty close because we are running out of our main savings account, the CBR, we're running out of money in that account. So I hope so.
Do you see yourself reaching compromises with the legislature related to the budget?
I think we reached compromise last year on the budget. That's part of the process. Everybody has to give a little to get a lot. So that is part of the process. I've never thought otherwise. Yeah.
How frequently do you plan to meet legislative leaders?
As much as possible.
You've referred to making changes to the formulas that drive spending increases. The biggest of those is the formula for public education. What do you think the goal should be for the education funding formula?
So let me clarify. What I've said is the legislature needs to review the formula programs to decide if this is what they want at the levels that they want. If so, then that means that those programs will continue to drive costs at a certain level, and the legislature just needs to be aware of that to take into account potentially an extra spend of $100 million a year or somewhere in that area. If they choose to change the formulas, that is something that they'll be taking a look at and decide. But if they choose not to, then they need to be prepared to add $100 million in some form of revenue to the budget going forward. And those are the discussions that we're going to have.
Just the $100 million is referring to
just growth, potential growth in these formula programs, automatic increase in payments. We also have to have a discussion on our debt payments going forward, how much debt we have, how do we service it. So some of these fixed costs, we really have to have a discussion on how we're going to pay for these things going forward, because they seem to be growing in cost.
So you have said that you would like to see further decreases in spending in the state. Do you think it's possible to have significant decreases in spending without changing the formulas?
Maybe, but I do agree with the premise that if you're going to have significant savings, you've got to look at the formula programs. There's no doubt about it. They're the biggest cross drivers if you want to have significant savings. Again, if you don't, if the decision of this legislature is that they do not, then they need to come up with a plan to service those growing costs. And so that discussion needs to happen. We can't just say, we're going to reduce this or we're going to add money to this, I think, without having a genuine understanding of what's driving our costs.
So You have said you do not support changing the PFD formula or increasing new taxes without a vote of the people.
Yes.
Would knowing that Alaskans could organize for a referendum meet that requirement?
I'm not sure. Can you clarify?
In the Alaska Constitution allows for referendums that would essentially repeal legislation, so Alaskans could always have a referendum.
That's a very good question, Andrew. I've always brought up, even in the years that I've been in the Senate, that sure, that's on the books and that can happen. But the issue with that is if the legislature believes they have put together a fiscal plan going forward, without first engaging the people on the front end, then they run the risk of the people unraveling it at the back end in the referendum process, as you just mentioned. I've always advocated to bring the people up front in the front end, because then you don't have to worry about that for probably some time into the future. If not, you're always looking over your shoulder as to whether the people of Alaska agreed with what you did. We shouldn't be ruling over the people of Alaska. We should be representing them and working with them. Why not give them an opportunity to vote on these issues up front?
From what I've heard from Alaskans, they generally dislike cuts to the PFD, spending increases, or cuts to services. They like cuts in the abstract, but when specific cuts are proposed, people tend to react strongly to that. Do you think it's possible to address something like the complexity of education, the education funding formula, in these really broad meetings about the budget, getting feedback from the public that would meaningfully lead to, say, changes in the education funding formula?
Well, no, that's a good question. So the idea is we go around the state, we listen to people. If the majority of people say to us, the administration, we don't want any reductions, for example, the example you brought up in education, we don't want any reductions and we are willing to pay for that with some form of revenue, then I think we have to have the discussion with the legislature. Let's say the meetings result in, and this is all hypotheticals, of course, but let's say the meetings result in that. I think that's information that the legislature needs to understand, but we hope to engage the people of Alaska in a genuine conversation to get some idea where they may be coming from. Because, again, we're here for them, and they are an absolute important part of solving this solution. Again, this is why I'd like to have their input up front in some of these key issues, such as constitutional amendments for taxation, spending limit, advisory vote, PFD.
As far as a constitutional amendment, that would be a process that could take time.
Right. We've introduced three bills. They've gone through some committees. There is time for the legislature to pick those bills, those resolutions up again, so that we can get some answers on whether the people of Alaska are going to be allowed to vote on their constitution to help solve this problem going forward.
As far as having public votes on new taxes, would that apply to smaller proposals like Senator Click Bishop's has a school tax proposal, a motor fuel tax increase proposal?
That'd be a discussion for the legislature. I certainly think your larger taxes need to be discussed with the people of Alaska. You know, we've had this discussion before. Colorado does this with their Tabor law, basically. And actually, some of our municipalities dictate that the people need to vote for any new or increased taxes. So we have something like this going on at the local level. We just want to give the people at a statewide level the opportunity to weigh in on whether it's taxation or not.
Your OMB, your Office of Management and Budget, released a 10-year plan that includes five scenarios, including one called the balance scenario. Under this scenario, the basis for permanent fund dividends would change from one half of recent fund earnings to one half of the annual draw from the fund. Do you think that this is a change that's worth considering?
I think any and all options should be discussed, and then any and all options should, in my opinion, have the people of Alaska should have an understanding of what those options are, and where applicable, they should weigh in, again, to give us some sense of permanency going forward instead of guessing or hoping this is something that they support.
If the vote for PFD or tax changes was not in the Constitution, could you see it coming in the form of a public vote, like an initiative?
You mean if the issue of whether we're going to have taxes or the PFD, if that was not allowed to go to the vote of the people in a constitutional resolution, a change of the Constitution, that there'd be another form of vote? you're not going to get permanency out of another form of vote. You're going to get an opinion potentially that may hopefully lead to the legislature going back to doing a constitutional amendment. But in the end, I think we've seen that there are times that we don't follow our laws, and that's what the people are telling me in the state of Alaska. So they want to be able to put this in the Constitution if possible.
If would you veto these kind of changes if they were these kind of changes being a change to taxes or a change to the permanent fund dividend, if those bills weren't also accompanied by the constitutional amendments?
I'm pretty adamant that it makes little sense to put forth a bill on changes of that magnitude without the people of Alaska being part of it. Again, I think the people of Alaska, they're the reason why we're here, and they are the ones that are going to support or not support what we do. Again, you can take the risk and just vote in bills pertaining to money that would potentially come out of their pockets in mass, or you can get them on the front end with a constitutional amendment to support this. So that's my preference.
Understanding that's your preference, are you closed off to the, like, well, I mean, I guess I could restate my question. I'm really interested in, I mean, if you don't have a yes or no answer to that question, like how you deal with that idea of the veto question on that kind of bill, understanding that that's not your preference.
Advisory vote? Are you talking about advisory vote?
Well, no, if a bill hit your desk that said we're going to set the dividend at one quarter of the draw, would you say now that you would veto that bill?
That would be a tough one for me to that's a tough one for me to believe that the people of Alaska would support that. So I would be very hesitant to that's a hypothetical again, but no, I think that I don't think government should be taking any more than the people of Alaska. I do believe that the permanent fund dividend program has been in place for almost 40 years, and that program touches more Alaskans than just about any other program. So I don't think that's going to happen, because I think the legislature knows where I stand on this, but I'm certainly willing to engage them in a discussion on what this is going to look like going forward. But it's got to be something that the people support.
Let's see. What do you expect the Alaska Marine Highway Reshaping Group work group to accomplish?
I hope they come up with some ideas to make the marine highway a transportation method that is sustainable going forward. This is what I'm trying to accomplish, is sustainability and predictability in our budgets going forward and how we service these services and these programs going forward. This concept of every year we don't know how much oil money we have, we don't know what we're going to spend from one moment to the next, I think is problematic for the long-term fiscal health of Alaska. I believe that those folks that are impacted by the marine highway system, experts there to assist, I think we can get some very good information to build a service going forward that can meet the needs of coastal Alaskans, but at the same time would be one that would be sustainable for all of Alaska.
How would you define sustainability?
That it's being as run as efficiently as possible. Potentially where there are roads on the islands in south central coastal Alaska, southeast Alaska, will those roads make it less costly so that cost savings could be shifted into potential boats that are going to transport people where there are no roads? I think we need to look at routes if we are leaving a port at certain times of the year in which there are not that many passengers. How do we consolidate potentially those routes? I'm all ears in terms of what this group is going to come up with to I think have a efficient, sustainable system of transport southeast and south central Alaska. So I'm wide open to any suggestions and possibilities.
As far as the level of funding, do you think that it could be in the ballpark of where it is in the current budget? The legislature, you had vetoed the additional $5 million that the legislature had passed in the second version of the budget last year.
It's a hypothetical. It's hard for me to say until this group comes up with the suggestions, to be honest with you.
Okay. Thanks. I appreciate that. You were a legislator for 5 years?
Yes.
Okay. What do you think of the ability of caucuses to punish members for not voting for budgets or leaders?
Well, you're talking to somebody that left the caucus because I couldn't support a certain vote. And you know, personally, I've talked about the fact that I believe that the legislators are elected by their constituents and that they owe their loyalty to their constituents. The caucus construct was developed to help run business. When the caucus concept runs well, it runs well. It works for everybody. Sometimes it doesn't. But that's a decision that you know, the current legislature is going to have to decide if they're having questions about their caucus system.
Okay. Let's see. So Judge Arseth issued the stay this morning. Do you have any thoughts about that?
You know, we haven't agreed with the concept of the recall from the get-go. We believe that the so-called breaches that were leveled against myself are unfounded, that they did not support it by fact. And it's our hope that as this process continues that the Supreme Court will, I think, rule accordingly. I think they'll rule the right way. And so I have faith in the courts that that'll happen.
In the legal filing that Stand Tall with Mike filed, they argued that having this happen during, you know, in this time period would be a distraction. Do you have any thoughts on are you distracted by this? Is this affecting how you do your job?
It's not affecting how I do my job. There's no doubt that you have to give some thought to this effort, this action. But it's not impacting the job. We still have to govern every day. We have to make decisions every day. So, no, we're going to continue to do what's best for Alaska. We're going to continue to do what the people of Alaska voted us in to do, the agenda that we campaigned on. And we just hope to get more information out and communicate with the people of Alaska as to why we're doing what we're doing.
Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you'd like to add or anything you'd like to emphasize?
I'm just looking forward to a productive session. I mean, we have the ability to, I think, move Alaska pretty far down the road in a positive way this year if we can all work together. And my door is open. I'm open to ideas, and I'm willing and able to roll up my sleeves and get down to work with the legislature.
Thanks a lot, Governor. I appreciate it. Thanks, okay. Jeff.